White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 528.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! Welcome to the AU Wishbone, Better Late Than Never edition, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with TheWarEagleReader.com and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our long-suffering but patient Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we got delayed last week from even having a show because I got sick, and I don't want to throw my 12-year-old under the bus, but it's all her fault. She went out to the park and played around with some friends and touched stuff and didn't have a mask on and violated all of our rules from the last year and then came back and sneezed on me. So I spent, you know, she spent like 2 days sick and I spent like a week laid up on the couch with a fever and stuff. But I'm all right now. And in the middle of all that, I got my second shot. So I'm all vaccinated now, which is cool. So we didn't get to do a show last week, and I'm really sorry, guys, but I was determined we would get one in the night, and John's been determined that we would get something tonight. We had all kind of technical problems tonight. In fact, the soundboard is all messed up, so we've really just kind of gone from one bad turn to the other, but we're gonna work through it, and we're going to get in at least an abbreviated show tonight. Are you ready to do it?
We're going to persevere.
We are. We have this far. We've made it this far. Why stop now? Let's keep rolling. So first up, we got to talk about a little thing called, it was almost like mini A-Day, you know? It was like they went and did a little A-Day type thing and let people come and watch. And the reporters all were acting like like we were on an alien planet. It was so funny. All the reporters were like, what? So they had an open practice. People are all swooning and losing their minds over it. So what did you make of that? I have a few observations, but I want to know what you made of the whole thing.
I think from a strategic standpoint, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Because they're very early in the installation of stuff. No competing teams are learning anything. It's not like we're doing this the week before the Georgia game or whatever.
Right.
And this builds goodwill with the fans, lets the media see stuff. So they'll talk about the team and what's going on, and all that kind of stuff. And here's the other one that I really like. You know, players cannot. Recruits cannot come on official visits to any college campus. But if you allow the general public into an event, recruits are part of the general public. So they could just, and their families could just coincidentally show up and go to the open practice if they wanted to.
What a strange coincidence that they just happened to come into town. They were out shopping and just found their way to the stadium. What about that? How about that? So awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. So yeah, and so they had a nice little crowd, a few people there, and we got to see a few things, which we'll talk about. You had a note: will this last, or will paranoia kick in? Well, certainly the Gus paranoia. Except Gus turned around and did one in Orlando, and I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. So not only did Auburn do one, but the coach that at Auburn wouldn't do one turned around and did the same thing down there. So. I guess you're right. It probably has as much to do with COVID and who can come on campus as anything. You know, like you say, it's a much better idea to do it now when they're not going to see anything anyway, you know. So,
yeah,
probably a good idea.
And building goodwill. And I think it also gives the players something different during a practice, some people watching, extra pressure on them that way, that kind of thing.
So we saw some interesting things on offense and on defense. I'll just throw quickly out on defense, it looked like, you know, the 3-4 was run and that kind of thing, and we expected that. And it looked like our new defensive coordinator was running around really doing a lot of hard coaching, and that's cool. But the offense was particularly interesting because we got to see a bunch of quarterbacks out there doing some stuff. And I'll just go ahead and mention real quick, I was talking about that. I watched some video of it, and it looked to me like, of all people, Shea Garnett was the most consistently accurate passer who actually put some zip on the ball. some of them were accurate. Some of them had some zip, but were kind of making the ball boy run all over the place trying to catch the ball in drills. But it looked like Garnett, however you pronounce it, he was very accurate and put a little mustard on it. Trey Lindsey was fairly accurate, but less zip, not like he's going to play a lot. Davis, I was expecting more from him. You know, he's a smaller guy. It was interesting to see Garnett and Demetrius Davis kind of next to each other, because Garnett is like 6'2", 230. He's like a big dude. And mm-hmm. Davis is like 5'11", 190 or something. So he's a much smaller, relatively speaking, quarterback. And then I guess if the ball boy to get his workout in, Sawyer Pate was just kind of spraying it all over the place. And Bo Nix was okay. I didn't see as much of him, but he looked, you know, he looked like he's going to look. So I did hear that he shorted a pass out in the flat. So that makes me bang my head on the ground a little bit. But what were your impressions of the offense, of what you saw, the players and stuff?
Again, I think, you know, Harsin was watching, you know, Bobo and kind of coaching him up directly. Like he was standing, Bo Nix and coaching him up. He was standing there, you know, and pulling Bo aside and working with him on stuff. And I mean, the other thing is, I think we saw a lot of different routes that we normally see from the receivers and from the tight ends. And we saw, you know, quarterbacks taking the snap under center. You know, Davis, I think, had never done that. And Bo Nix has certainly not done it very much. So that was a big practice thing for them. And some of those, we were taking the snap under center and we were in the I formation with a fullback. So some of the time, you know, the fullback was one of the tight ends, obviously, right? Because we don't have other fullbacks on the roster. So I think at one point, Pegues was a fullback.
That's nice.
So apparently, you know, the tight ends all, you know, ran a bunch of different patterns and lined up at different places inside, outside. I got up against the tackle like normal, but also in kind of a fullback H-back spot. And so that was exciting and different, interesting to me. On the receiver side, I think Javaris Johnson was a big target. So I'm excited to see that. That's a guy that we recruited 2 years ago that was, you know, supposed to be the next Ryan Davis, and he's been hurt and hasn't been able to do anything. And he got a lot of targets. So I think that's a guy they're really looking at. So I'm excited about that. That's the main things I think on the offense.
Yeah, I did remember hearing them. I didn't get the name, but I heard them talking about that there was a guy that was kind of Ryan Davis-like. And he's another Davis. So that's interesting. So I think he is, right? Yeah, so.
It's Johnson. Johnson.
That's right. What do you make of, like, the formations, the fullbacks, the under center, all that? I mean, is that something you think we're going to see a lot of, or is that just something he's working on as, like, a little twist? I know they ran a couple of trick plays several times that they were working on, so.
I think they're going to run a lot of different stuff, right? I think they want to be physical at the line of scrimmage, and I think this coaching staff believes that, you know, part of the time to do that, to be really physical, it helps sometimes to be under center, and not be running out of, you know, starting 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage with the quarterback. So yeah. I think that's part of it. But also I think they just want the defense to have to prepare for more stuff.
I just don't have a very clear idea in my head of what to expect from this offense, given that it's probably going to be kind of a hybrid of Bobo's offense and Harsin's offense. And when I think of Harsin's offense, I think of that Boise State kind of pro style passing it all over the field. And then I think, but in a kind of a pro style, not like a spread or a fun and gun, but just more like a pro style passing game. And I think of Bobo and I think of a little more conservative kind of, you know, SEC run first. And I just, you know, play action kind of thing. And so I almost feel like we're going to look at an offense that's going to look a lot like the mid-years Tuberville offense, you know?
Like that's fair. Like 2005.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be like the modern version of that, right? And I think that's what the Boise State offense was. I mean, they're much more physical than you give them credit for. They were really hard-nosed running the ball. They produced a number of NFL running backs, and they were, you know, they would get past the ball and open it up and get ahead of people, and then they would pound on them. And I think they can, you know, if that's what the defense has given you, they'll take it. And so I think they want to be able to do that. They want to be, they don't want to be kind of a finesse kind of passing offense. They want to be kind of a smash mouth first offense and throwing the ball around to take advantage of what, you know, what their players can do. So,
yeah.
On the defensive side, I think it's the same. I think they want to be versatile. They want to have guys that, you know, the defense doesn't know every single guy out there. Are they going to rush? Are they going to cover? Are they going to play the run? And I think that's good. I think it's a good thing. So
I didn't hear anything about special teams. Did they just go through drills? They didn't really like, well, I know they did some field goal kick / field goal block drills, mm-hmm. but I didn't hear any specifics about how that came out. Did you hear anything about special teams at all?
I mean, I heard the younger Carlson was really, looked really good. So that's what I heard. And the other thing I heard from my dad was in practice, and his overall assessment was it was very precise. Like everything was very well coordinated and, you know, organized and detail oriented. That was his assessment of how they operated.
Yeah, that seems to match everything that we know, you know, to this point about this whole regime, the coaching staff and everything, is that they seem very detail-oriented, very, you know, specific and very meticulous, I think is the word I'm looking for. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot else from that practice. I'm just glad they're practicing now. I'm glad they're out there. What do you think in terms of the quarterback? We know that Loy, right, is like the official second quarterback, but he was like unable to practice, I think. Was he injured or something?
And yeah, then, he's hurt.
Okay. And so they went down to Lindsey. Trey Lindsey kind of was the backup. But you've got those two after him, Davis and Garnett, that have a lot of potential, I think more potential than the guys ahead of them. So I'm really looking forward to them just getting some experience, getting to practice some, getting to work with the team, work with the ones a little bit. And that's what I want to see, is these two guys that I think have tremendous upside get in some more work and some experience.
Absolutely. No, and I think, I mean, to my expectation is that Davis is going to kind of, you know, rise to the top and be the number two quarterback. Mm-hmm. And in kind of the, you know, in those early season non-conference games that, you know, when we get ahead by a good amount, we'll pull the starters and he'll get a bunch of snaps in those games, is my hope.
You know, I thinking about him in Gus's old offense, there's like the, you know, the meme on Twitter and all, which is like how it started, how it's going. And I think Davis, how it started, and he'd be like the next Nick Marshall. And then I think how it's going, and he's like the next Malik Willis at Auburn. You know, just 3 times a game, he'd have been told to go out there and just keep it and run.
We just gonna let him do the keeper. He's not gonna be throwing the ball around. He's not gonna be throwing it.
And then it'd just be totally predictable, and they'd have sacked him for a 5-yard loss every time. So I'm just hoping that maybe Harsin will actually let other quarterbacks play the quarterback position, and not just do that patented one thing approach.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see that with any players this year.
Of all the things that Gus did that drove us crazy, I swear, getting that one player at every position that did one thing. Did you? I kind of want to pile on Gus, but did you see the quote from one of our receivers that left? I forget which one it was now. One of our receivers from last year that left, they asked him.
Seth Williams, I think.
Yeah, Seth, that's right. They asked him about how many routes he ran or whatever. He says, we didn't really run routes. We didn't run routes. Bo would just, you know, draw some lines in the grass in the huddle, you know, if we were huddled, and head for the ice machine. Oh, God. All right. Anything else about football? We got a little bit of basketball to talk about real quick.
No, other than, you know, it was nice having open practice. We still got a long way to go on the offensive line, but it's, you know, it's nice to have football to talk about.
Hey, we've got an offensive line, and we got like a 3 deep offensive line with playing experience. I don't know how to react to that. It's crazy. So I know they're not like setting the world on fire offensive linemen, but I feel like maybe we hit rock bottom and are on the way back up a little bit now, maybe on the offensive line. Is that fair or something like that? Or
it's fair. I still want a couple of offensive tackles. I'll say that. Like
well,
if
no kidding.
I want at least one transfer offensive tackle. I could say that.
Yeah, let's get that. So we didn't get to talk last week. We didn't get to talk about Justin Powell, but we're all having to cope with the thought that not only will we lose, probably lose Sharif, but Justin Powell as well. So the dream backcourt that we never got to see not a single time, we will now never see.
Nope.
And it's just so weird to think that, I mean, yes, I know that Bruce is bringing in more top players and we're just going to we're reloading these days. We don't rebuild, we reload. I never thought I would say Auburn basketball and we're not rebuilding, we're reloading. I never thought there'd be a time I would say those words in the same breath, okay? But I realize that we are reloading for next year and we'll have a very good, very talented team, but I hate the thought that in such a crappy season, a crappy year with injuries and weird rulings by the NCAA and everything, we never once got to see those two guys at their best playing together. I would have just one game I wish we could have seen Sharif at point guard and Justin Powell at shooting guard and just see what they could have done. I mean, you know, and who knows, it might not have been as great as we like to imagine, but man, I wish we could have just seen it once. It's not fair how it played out. It really isn't.
No, I hear you, and I agree. It's not fair, but it is what it is. And yeah. I you know, Powell's gone. He's not coming back, and I suspect Sharif is probably gone. We'll see. So yeah, no, we never got to see this year's team. We always had that kind of asterisk that we never saw what should have been.
Yeah,
and I think some people on Twitter did blame me because when we and you can play the sound effect.
I turn it off because it's not working. Okay. But you're saying
blame yourself.
There you go. I played. John can't hear the soundboard. We're having more technical problems, so we're both going to set our computers on fire this week and then sprinkle the ashes over a dead chicken or something.
I'm going to put it in a boat and let it float down the river and fire a flaming arrow at it.
There you go. I like it.
So no, I mean, I think a couple weeks ago, the last episode we did record, I said that some players were going to transfer off the basketball team and probably someone you didn't expect. And people were like, ha ha. And then Powell transferred and people were like, oh, it's all Ringer's fault. So
I wouldn't have thought of that, but okay.
So anyhow, he transferred, and then since then, Jamal Johnson and Javon Franklin have also transferred out. But the big news is we have a transfer in.
Yes, and probably not the last one, by the way.
No, I think we'll get another transfer in probably. But, you know, we have two big fresh, you know, high school signees coming in, and then our incoming transfer is Jasper from the College of Charleston.
Who I immediately am dubbing Led Zepp Jasper.
I like it.
I have to add Led Zeppelin to the board now.
Do you know what his nickname is?
Jimmy Page?
It should be. But no, he plays really intense defense, so his nickname is the Honey Badger.
Oh, no. All right. I love it. I love it. Yeah. I want that guy on my team. Heck yeah.
Yes. It's supposed to like an all conference kind of defender, basically a guy that could play, you know, point guard or shooting guard, but played point guard for his team, but also had to do a lot of the scoring for them. Wouldn't have to score as much at Auburn, but I think could definitely be, you know, he could start if Sharif came back, he could be kind of the first guard off the bench or play either spot and make stuff happen. He could start next to Sharif or another point guard, or he could be there's another big transfer that's out there. There's a shooting guard from Penn State who's out there who's averaged like 40% on three-pointers and who's transferring. And so a lot of schools want him. And so if he signed with Auburn, you could put him and Zeb Jasper in the backcourt, and there's your backcourt for next year with, you know, like Alexander, the freshman, coming off the bench. So that's where we are. And Jasper fills an immediate hole. We needed an experienced point guard, and you know he's there. So I think we're pretty deep with big guys. And I think we pretty need one more guard maybe. But really, we have a lot of guys. You can't play 10 or 12 guys. You can only play like 8 guys or 9 guys, right?
Right.
And so, and we've got the big freshman coming in. We've got a bunch of other good players coming back. And so we're pretty close, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah. I wish that we could keep a group together for 2 or 3 years like we did the Final Four team, add just the right ingredients on the top to kind of take them the last step. But I worry, that we keep changing out our top players every year. We're never going to get chemistry. But because this was a very talented team this year, and they ended up, they wouldn't have made the NCAA tournament anyway, whether they'd gone or not. So, and they probably wouldn't have gotten very far in the SEC tournament. So, but remember, it's a very fine line because the Final Four team the year before lost in the first round of the tournament to Alabama, the SEC tournament. So, and got blown out, I think, by Clemson in the NCAAs. As we speak, Alabama's working on hanging 100 points on Maryland. So you and I were talking about how we were going to be watching. Oh, there they go. They just hit a three. It's 94-73 Alabama right now. Ugh.
Yes. No. It makes me want to vomit. But
this has been a really good tournament for me in terms of brackets. I usually do terrible, but I was actually leading for our whole group. We've got like 34 people in our bracket, our AU Wishbone bracket. And I was actually leading the last couple of days and was well ahead, and I was very excited. And then it all kind of fell apart on me. I had some really good wins where I had picked, I had picked Syracuse to win, and I'd, picked a couple of other kind of oddballs that did well. But what ended up getting me was today when Colorado lost and
LSU
got me. Oh, LSU dropped me. When LSU lost, I dropped from first to third. So and at this point, I don't have a lot left. So I think my glory run is over, and it's too bad. I got to the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8, and then fell apart. But we were going to talk about. First we're going to talk about. Are you watching it? I've been watching it not as much as I usually do. But I got more interested when I actually started doing better in the fantasy league, so I've been paying a little bit more attention. I'll probably watch, because usually the last few games are big. Once you get to the Sweet 16, there's only 8 games. There's only 8 games, and then 4 games, and then 2 games, and 1 game left. So a little easier. But what have you been? Have you been watching it? What do you think?
Some, not as much. I mean, again, I'm not watching it as closely as I would have if Auburn was in the tournament. How about that?
Yeah.
So it's probably the first time in forever when I really have it like studied to the bracket and have it memorized kind of, and so I filled out a bracket for our challenge and I'm kind of in the bottom third or whatever. I think I had a good first day and then kind of dropped off after that, but and I've enjoyed, so I've watched some of the games. I watched a good bit of, while I was getting ready for the show, that LSU Michigan, that was a good game.
Yeah.
And I've seen a few of the others, but not as much as normal.
We did want to kind of run through and look at some of the best names from our bracket. And I had to, let me see, I had to close out the, oh, there it is. I have it. And we talked about, because one of the things we were going to do was name like the winner of our best names for the bracket. And while we're doing that, I also want to mention, I'm getting an echo. I also wanted to mention that we're doing the Fantasy Formula One League this year. We kind of had to cancel it last year because the season was very haphazard and got tacked on at the end. But if you're interested at all, we got a whole bunch of people now that are jumped in on our Fantasy Formula One League. So if you're a patron, just go to the Patreon page for the show, for White Rocket, and there's the instructions, there's the code name, there's the link and everything. You can go and join up. You get to put up to 2 teams of drivers and a team of cars in twice, basically, and it should be a lot of fun. It's very simple thing. You just pick, you have a salary cap of $100 million, and you get to pick five drivers and one team, like Mercedes or Ferrari or whoever, you know. And so it's neat trying to put together a team using that salary cap, because if you pick Lewis Hamilton, you've used like a third of your entire salary cap, you know. So do you want to go like a big guy, or do you want to get a bunch of little ones? So it's kind of fun. All right, so let's see. I'm looking at our group, and I noticed a couple earlier. So I'll name a couple, you name a couple, and let's see how many that I thought are pretty good. I like that one of us is Sharif Buford T. Justice. That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
And I officially am endorsing the name of mine now as Van Damme This Bracket. That was the name of mine this year, which seemed wrong until now. And there's Cardwell from Three. That's from Chris Como. That's very good. Let's see. What are you liking in there?
There's one, Don't Fly the Coop Sharif.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like there's one that says Oates sucks. Which again, as I watch Alabama basketball, I'm reminded of it. There's one UVA double dribbled. Always appreciate that.
That's
one.
Always dependable. Yep. I see the Davion Mitchell fan club.
Uh-huh. I like to buy a Powell.
Yeah, Auburn Elvis. I liked your biggest Iona fan. I'm sorry that didn't work out for us.
Listen.
And then I survived the TP crisis. No kidding.
And George Gaston went wishbone. He said, get better at celebrating.
That's it. That's the classic. So, yeah, I think those are the favorites so far. There's others that are good, too. Everybody did well. But those are the – it's funny, too, that, like, only, three people had anything other than Baylor or Gonzaga winning. And so pretty much. And so Illinois is out. But everybody's champion is pretty much still alive. So, yeah. So, Wilson is in first. George Gaston's in second. War Eagle Eric is in tied for second, and now I'm tied for four. I'm not even in third anymore, man. The leader's total points are 400, and then two people have 380, and then I'm tied for 370. So, oh well. A lot of fun. Next year, do it. You guys that haven't done it this year, get to do it next year and find out what you're missing out on. It's been a lot of fun. All right, let's see. I have the wrong browser window open, so I had to move things around a little bit. That's basketball. Any other basketball-type things going on?
No, I think that's the big stuff. Probably another transfer on the lookout for.
Yep, that's it. All right, well, let me thank our great patrons. These are the folks. We don't do ads. We don't do the ads. You guys out there keep our show going. We don't run all these ads that drive you crazy on every other podcast and keep interrupting every 10 or 15 minutes with some ad, or if it's on YouTube, every 5 minutes. All I do is once every show, I thank these great folks that prevent us from needing ads. So thank you guys so much. And if you want to join their ranks, and I'll thank you too, and you get to play in the March Madness type stuff and the Formula One fantasy type stuff and all the other stuff we do all year long, then just go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com. And by the way, when you're there, you can also take advantage of the fact that the first 8 episodes of We Believed are permanently linked with little audio players. So you can listen to our entire 8-episode We Believed series, which will be having an accompanying book coming along soon. And plus our last 2 episodes to round it out that we'll be doing soon. So, yeah, head on over to www.auwishbone.com and you can find all of that and more. Here are the folks that keep us rolling and keep us going. They include, of course, the great Chris and Clinton Stewart, as well as Carl Von Drunker, Christopher Burleson, Samuel Salvatore. You guys are just awesome. Then there's Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Tom Anderson, Trombone Tiger is our newest member. Welcome aboard, Trombone. Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, AU Falling Up, Ben Bloodworth, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, James Greenwell, Joel Beckham, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Timothy, WDE Richie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Alex Nguyen, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Cato the Barner, Chris the Hilton, Colby Butler. Chris is going to drop me a nasty email one day if I don't stop doing that. It just seems like it should be there. Danny Flack, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Die Bama, and unfortunately they didn't tonight, Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kanoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Algorithm, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Tony Perry, 76 Tiger. Oh, that's an either a new one or a changed name, but that's cool. Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Brandon Smith, Chris Como, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrick, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Kathleen, hey Kathleen, Kenneth Brent Rains, Mark Squire, Matthew Flowers, Mick Vichicana, Nicholas Craig, Paul Bankson, and finally, Robert Drain, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Weagle 87, I like it, we're getting different names, Brant Rumble, and Chris. And our one-time anonymous donors, I think the reason we have a few people with different names this week, which is awesome, is because it's what they want it to be, because two or three people in the last couple of weeks have actually emailed you or me or put it on the Patreon page or whatever and said, I would like to be called this, you know, and say whatever the name they want it to be. And I'd kind of been like going on a case-by-case basis and writing back to them, but I finally decided, you know, there may be more people that want to know that. So I actually posted on Patreon the other day, here's what you need to do to change it so that I see what you want me to see as your name. Because I read it right off the Patreon page. And when you join up to be a patron, it just puts whatever you want me to see on the page. And so folks have been going in now and editing it to be what they want it to be. And that's awesome. So now the names are just a little bit different, but now they're more what the folks want to see. So if you want to join the ranks, go to www.auwishbone.com. And then like the current top post explains very simply, you just go into like your little profile thing and just change the name. That's all you have to do. www.auwishbone.com. And now, I think it's time to get in the Guess the Game. This is our latest and greatest. This is Jared's segment on us guessing what games we're and what year, right? I think our listeners over the last few weeks have been hearing these and enjoying them. I certainly have been enjoying them. I know you have. Are you ready to play, John?
I am ready.
All right, so here's how it works. Jared gives us an audio clip from an Auburn game in the past. We have to figure out who Auburn is playing and what year. And he bleeps out in the first version the most obvious clues. So here, I have to find the player. Uh-oh. You know what? It may not let you hear it. It may not let you.
I'm going to put my hand to my forehead and just guess. It is the it is the 2010 Arkansas game.
Oh, that's a favorite. I hadn't even thought about it till now. We've got to get this fixed because this precludes us being able to do Guess the Game. Unless I send you a copy too and you just listen to it separately. But we're going to get this fixed, all right? I mean, I've always managed to get it fixed in the past. Just for whatever reason, it's not letting you hear it tonight. So let me go ahead and play it for the listeners at home, and I'll describe for you if you can't hear it. So here we go. Here it goes. Who can
it be now? Hello, Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick, a.k.a. the Death Probe, here with your next edition of Guess the Game. And as usual, I'm at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram if you would like to reach out to me to suggest a play for Guess the Game. And with that, Van, John, get ready, because here we go.
Snaps it. Holds it. Kicks. and it's going to be wide left. It's blocked. It's blocked. Blocked it. Picks it up, and the nightmare continues for. And there's a late hit. There's going to be a 15-yard penalty on top of all this as well.
Okay, what do you got on that one? Sounds pretty exciting, and I wonder if it was kind of important, but maybe not the most memorable play from that game. I think I'm giving too many hints. Good luck with that one, everyone.
All right. It was a minute and 7 seconds, John. So the funny thing about that one that made me laugh about partway through, you couldn't hear it, right?
Nope.
Okay. Here's all you missed. Bleep. And he bleep. Gonna bleep, bleep. It sounded like a really filthy rap song where they just kept bleeping. Jared just basically bleeped everything. But here's what I gathered. It was at the end of a game, and it sounded like the other team was trying to kick a field goal to beat us, and they missed. And they said, and it was like Vern said, the nightmare continues. And that doesn't ring a bell for me at all.
Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly would be the field goal kicking nightmare continuing. But, I mean, and maybe I heard it wrong. Again, all I was hearing was beep, bleep, bleep. They must have been saying a lot of players' names, you know, and he bleeped them all out. And so the gist of it was somebody was trying to kick a field goal and it was not successful as best I could understand it. All right, I'm going to have to – I have no clue. I'm going to have to go to the second one, and I'll fill you in, okay? I'll give you a little play-by-play as soon as it's over. So, again, it'll be about a minute long. So, no, this one's actually 39 seconds, so here we go. Stand by, and I'll give you the play-by-play on it and see if we can figure it out together.
All right, now we're listening to the unbleeped hint file, so let's give that a listen.
Azza snaps it. A.J. McCarron holds it. Cade Foster kicks it, and it's going to be wide left. It's blocked. It's blocked. Dorisi Robinson blocked it. Ryan Smith picks it up, and the nightmare continues for Cade Foster.
And there's a late hit. There's going to be a 15-yard penalty on top of all this as well.
Well, there's no way you don't know it now, so I hope you guys enjoyed this one and enjoyed reliving that experience.
All right. So it was Cade Foster missing or having his field goal blocked that A.J. McCarron was holding. And I think it was Robinson Therese, maybe they said, was blocked it or whatever. And then there was a 15-yard penalty on top of that. Is that the 2013? Is that the kick six? That was McCarron, right?
Yes.
I mean, is there another Iron Bowl that McCarron quarterbacked that we won? Or was the holder? There was just 10 and 13, right, when he was there. I think he came in for like one play at the end of 2010 as a freshman. But maybe he was the holder, though? It's got to be the 2013, right? He's just, instead of the kick six, he gave us them missing a field goal.
Yeah, I think it's got to be that.
All right, let me play the reveal, and I'll tell you if we had it right. That's got to be it. But it's a play you don't listen to very often from that game, and so it really kind of baffled me for a second. Let's see.
If you guessed that this was the 2013 Auburn versus Alabama Iron Bowl, then you are correct. Everybody remembers the kick six. I almost picked the play where Marshall tossed it up to Sammy Coates for that last-minute touchdown to bring us even in that game. But I thought, you know what? What was the play that was responsible to get us there, which then in turn got us the kick six? So I kind of wound back the clock twice. I hope you guys enjoyed that, and I hope you got it. And War Eagle, I'll catch you on the next episode of Guess the Game.
Jared has a new theme song for it, Who Can It Be Now, by
Minute Work.
Yeah, I was thinking Down Under, but that's the other song. He said that he was going to use the kick six, but then he said, well, no, I'm going to use the Nick Marshall pass. And then I thought, well, no, I'm going to go back even further and use them missing a field goal, which meant that we were able to tie it up, which totally makes sense and is logical. Yeah, I was going to say, but we weren't losing. If they had made that field goal, we would have still beaten them by four instead of or five. You know, or, but they wouldn't have been kicking a field goal in the last play if they were ahead. They'd just been taking a knee. So yeah, if the game hadn't been tied, they wouldn't have tried the field goal. And them trying the field goal is what won the game for us. So that makes sense. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, I'm sorry it wasn't quite as fun this time, but with technical problems we're having tonight, I mean, John's at 11 o'clock Eastern time right now anyway, so this has just been, we're doing the best we can to get through this tonight. So,
see, I still haven't heard the clip, so I just think you're making all that up, and I was actually right there. So.
You just go ahead and think that. Why not? At this point, why not? Why not think? Why not? You know. All right. Well, I guess we should just wrap things up there. It's 11 o'clock your time. You need to go to bed. I got to go to a funeral tomorrow, so I got to go to bed. So next week, we will come back strong. Everything will be fixed one way or the other, and we'll have our listener questions and everything else. But at least we got in a show for our good listeners and for our patrons and everything this week. So any final thoughts before we wrap up tonight?
You know, we persevered.
We did.
We didn't give up. Things got tough. Yep. And we made it work.
We got something in, and that's something. So,
and it's something.
It's something. All right. I don't know what.
Hey, look, it's not going to go into the Wishbone episode Hall of Fame.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
But we delivered. So.
It's better than not doing one. Absolutely, it is.
That's right.
So, very good. All right. Our time is most definitely up, and we thank you for yours. War Eagle John.
Where are you, man?
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.